Hello, everyone, and welcome to Between the Sessions. We are coming to you from the beautiful Palm Beaches, Florida. Now, Between the Sessions is a podcast for meetings industry professionals, and it's presented by the Palm Beaches. I'm your host, Suzanne Boyd.
And I'm your co-host, Jamie Hart. Our mission is to inspire those in the business events industry with new and innovative ideas and discuss important developments impacting the meetings industry in the U.S. and globally.
We are excited today to have as our guest Stephanie Harris, who is the president of the Incentive Research Foundation. Stephanie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
All right, so tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into the events industry.
Like so many people, it is not a straight path. I started off working in advertising agencies. Shoes and shopping were my key industries that I worked on, but eventually got recruited by a client and ended up working with Meritz. While I was at Meritz, I really learned so much about incentives, fell in love with it, and I have been in the industry now for 23 years.
Wow, that's amazing. It does seem like you said, a lot of people come in this industry not through a direct route, but sort of make their way here, which is really interesting.
It is. You know, at our event last week, we were all talking about our origin stories, and we had people at their tables during the general session share their stories. It is incredible how much of a nonlinear path there is to incentives and hospitality, too.
I feel like there's a lot of industries like that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So actually, while we're talking about incentives, for anyone that's new to the industry that's listening, do you want to tell us a little bit about what incentive events are and why they're important to the industry?
Yes. Incentives are rewards for high-performing individuals. So whether those are channel partners or direct employees, they're generally ways to reward and recognize people for specific efforts and also to create a real sense of loyalty to the organization. They're an important part of what organizations do because they do create more of a sense of long-term desire to stay with the organization. And right now, when hiring and retaining employees is critical and difficult, incentives are playing a huge role in what's going on.
And with that in mind, tell us a little bit more about the Incentive Research Foundation and what's its goal in the meetings industry.
The foundation is focused on providing research and education for people who utilize incentives or people who want to utilize non-cash incentives. Everything we do is meant to support and inform and make sure that non-cash incentives are used to maximum effect for organizations. So we do a lot of research, we do a lot of webinars, and we do education events.
Great. And you mentioned that you were at an event last week, but you're coming off of the IRF's Education Invitational, which is an annual event. Did any top takeaways or anything that stood out to you for the event that you can share, or, you know, trends or challenges that you're seeing in the short and long term?
Yeah, I would say there was such conversation around trends the entire time. Top challenges I think the organization's facing right now is talent, both attracting new talent. The industry is one. We did a workforce study earlier in the year. There is a complete lack of awareness. Not complete. 82% of people are not aware of careers in incentives as they go through university. So there's a need right now for us to really start to socialize, to very purposefully build awareness of the incentives industry to attract that next generation talent. Talent's just a big issue. I would say some of the other trends that we were talking about are things like the impact of technology and AI. I mean, I'm a girl who faxed in an event registration like 1 million years ago. And now the speed with which all of the tech around events is changing is really kind of mind-numbing. And there was a lot of discussion about how we capture that and utilize that to maximum effect, but really keep the humanity in incentives. You know, incentives are a person-to-person business. It's about making someone feel special and feel rewarded. And that's something that, as many things as AI and other kinds of tech can do, you still need that human touch. So a lot of discussion around the balance of those two things.
Yeah, I think everyone is talking about AI right now and how it's going to impact their industry. Let's talk some specifics. How do you see AI tools affecting the way planners and event strategists are doing their business?
There are multiple different ways that AI can be used in the industry and frankly are being used today. At a baseline, we're seeing it used for program design. So what should a rule structure look like around your specific audience, or what is a good design for a travel incentive, and creating agendas and schedules, creating communications around an incentive program, everything from theming and invitations through to how to communicate that know before you go kind of content. There are AI engines that are producing ROI models, and ROI has always been a little bit of a unicorn, I would say, in the industry. It's one of those things we're all kind of trying to figure out, is it real? Can you really get down to it? Very personal to organizations, but these AI models are getting people kind of 75, 80% down the road. It's certainly impacting hotel buying and selling today as well. And there are new airline buying models that are coming out of AI. So I think it's touching every single part of the industry right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's really interesting to hear all of that, because it sounds like, you know, when you couple that conversation with the talent conversation, there's opportunity for new types of industries or people who have worked in other disciplines to really come into the incentives industry based on how much AI might be affecting the market.
Absolutely. I think we're going to need different kind of talent. The great thing about taking advantage of AI and other types of tech are that it frees people up to have that person-to-person meaningful connection. It gets us kind of 75, maybe 80% of the way there. But again, even with something like a qualifications design, where AI can say, based on your people, these are two kinds of models you could use to have people qualify for your incentive. You can't just take that and pump it out into your Salesforce and say, here you go, here's how you're going to earn your incentives for the year. You need to overlay that with an understanding of your people and your audience and your personal culture in your organization. So it's great, but it will absolutely require different skill sets. To me, it's really exciting.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that human touch at the end is what's so important, right? They may be able to start the process, but I think ending the process is going to require someone that knows the industry and knows the client and the participants, correct?
Absolutely. If you have a set of channel partners, AI doesn't know the personality of your channel partners. Frankly, AI won't know the history of your program. So it won't know you have a group of really high-end individuals that demand this, you know, specific element of your program. That's the piece that we're going to need to lay into it. Do I think there are going to be efficiencies? Yeah, absolutely. We had someone on our stage last week, and she was saying she had just had a series of interviews and chose not to hire someone who was a friend of hers. And she didn't know how to let this person know without kind of risking friendship. She wanted to do it in the best possible way. And she asked AI, and AI got her kind of 90% of the way there with like how she communicated it. So
that's amazing.
It can do so many cool things. But again, she layered in that last bit of humanity.
The AI started the psychology for her.
right. Exactly.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, I think it's also, like you said, it can get us a a good portion of the way there. But at the end of the day, the planners and everyone planning incentive events are the ones who are communicating with the potential attendees and know what they're looking for. So what in this new world of AI and high tech, what do you see that attendees or people attending incentive events might be looking for?
Well, we see a lot of year over year shifts starting to happen. So for the last few years, we've done a participant preferences study. And last year, free time came out really big as something people want. I think it's phenomenal. It continued to actually grow this year. People want even more of the respondents said time on their own, free time to explore the destination. And I think that's important right now as people work through their budgets in inflationary times when the cost to book your property, the cost to book your airfare, F&B costs, all of that are up. One of the things you can do is simply give your people downtime and let them explore and let them experience. That's a huge thing that it can be a budget saver and it can be a real satisfier for attendees. The other thing is highly local experiences. People want to know they've been somewhere different. They want to experience the culture, but not in a manufactured way. They want to experience the culture in a very honest and local way. So organizations, you know, DMOs, CVBs have a real opportunity here to create and expose people to these very authentic, wonderful, unique things about their destinations. And they want experiences they can't get on their own. So that is not new. People have always wanted to take advantage of special access, of people like to be treated special. Like you're there because you earned it and you want to feel rewarded. So getting that special thing that you could not possibly buy access on your own, that still has a lot of trophy value to it.
Oh, sure. We all want to feel special, right? But especially if you've done well for your company. Let's talk specifics about that. Anything that stands out in your mind about what a DMO has done that really checked that box for attendees?
There have been, in my incentives career, several things. And they haven't just been DMO things, but some of what I kind of think about are opportunities to go into the culture of the destination. There are two examples of that. One, I was in Montana and there was a group that came in that talked about the land that we were on, the land that we were experiencing, and what they are doing to preserve it, why it is important. Exposed us more to the kind of wildlife, the kind of importance of the water in the area. And it just had you experience it through very, very different eyes once you're more aware of that. The other thing that I've experienced personally was in Canada, we had just a phenomenal experience of being able to go at the crack of dawn out on beautiful Lake Louise before anyone else was there, anyone else was awake, and just experience the stillness of that area and learn from a man who had been taking people out on canoe trips for years and years and years, but to do so in a very small group, in a very private way, and have something that other people just can't get.
Yeah, absolutely. And coming from a tropical destination, we love the idea that people want to get outside and experience the destination and, you know, interact with some of those local custom bespoke experiences that are just for them, that tend to that luxurious, you know, exclusive side. So, I mean, again, I'll plug the Palm Beaches here, but we love that. We love to see that as a trend because we know that it's something that we can deliver.
Absolutely. And I've had an experience like that in the Palm Beaches, where we were in the design house, and I can't remember the name of it, but the house where all
Kids
the designers
Bay. Come in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where all the designers come in and create rooms. We were actually able to hold research discussions and have a private breakfast there. It was amazing to be able to walk through that house and experience all of the different designer creations. But again, do so with private access, with our group, and then sit down in these gorgeous rooms and have research conversations.
Yeah. And do you think that as what participants are looking for is shifting, it's caused planners to look at different types of destinations or open, you know, kind of move away from your traditional quote unquote destinations for incentives and look at some places that maybe were not on the top of their list, but offer those things for their attendees?
Yeah. In our destination study, one of, I think it was among the top kind of four things that people wanted was they wanted to be somewhere new, somewhere they haven't experienced. And that's hard for a lot of organizations because they get in a habit. You know, we go to this resort every year, we go to Mexico every year, we go to wherever it is every single year. There's a lot of good things about that. It's known for the planners, it is predictable. Some of the attendees love the sameness. They love feeling like they're home, you know, when they go on their trip. But the majority of people want to experience a new destination. And that doesn't mean you have to leave the country. It doesn't mean you have to leave the continent. There are so many incredible destinations for people to experience. So it's more about knowing your attendee base and knowing what will make them happy, what will make them comfortable, and what will make them feel rewarded.
You know, sustainability is also a hot topic for many planners, attendees, destinations. Feels like a lot of the incentive events are in tropical or coastal destinations and often with these outdoor components that are a big part of the program. How does that change the planning process for incentives and events?
All things sustainability are having a huge impact on the industry. We see more organizations who are focused on achieving these UN Sustainable Development Goals. And we see organizations like the Events Industry Council coming to the table with the SEPC, which is the Sustainability Event Planner Certificate. So that's training that planners can go through to really understand how to ensure their events are more sustainable and helping their clients achieve those UN sustainability goals. There are sustainable event standards out there. I see it so much more in Europe than I do in North America, but it is absolutely coming to North America. And it goes so far beyond water bottles, you know, which I think is how we've always kind of thought about it and measured it. We measure our sustainability in water bottles or lack thereof. Hotels have incredible food reuse programs. There are laundry programs, but there's also incorporating sustainable activities, incorporating diversity into your programs. I think this is where the overlap between experiencing a destination in its truest form and being highly local and sustainability goals come together.
Yeah, I mean, it is such a big part, and I agree that I think it is coming. Obviously, gifting is also a big part of incentive events. I mean, you know, the ones I've been to or been a part of, there is a large gifting component because it is a reward-based event. So how are planners or how is the industry responding to sustainability and wanting to be more sustainable and still maintaining that aspect of incentives?
There are a couple of different ways. I see the opportunity to donate in lieu of gifting. I see a lot of people who aren't transporting all of the physical rewards or physical gifts on site, but rather having people order and then ship direct. So it's only getting shipped once. You're not shipping it to the destination and then having people either ship it home or carry at home, which creates more fuel use. So there are definite efficiencies happening in that way. There are also, I think, more sustainable gifts being offered. Wood sunglasses, that was something I got exposed to through the Palm Beaches. These kind of wooden, sustainable, very cool sunglasses, more gifts that speak to that. Organizations like Fill It Forward that have water bottles that every time you reuse them and you scan, money is donated to a water charity. So there are more and more opportunities for people to do gifting in a sustainable way. And people are starting to explore that more and more.
I want to go back to some of the research that IRF has conducted in terms of what participants want. And we kind of talked about the destination types and they want to feel special. Any talk or research on the resurgence of cruising?
Yes. So when we asked in 2021, the first year of our destination study, cruising was absolutely at the bottom of the list. And when we asked this year, beach and sun always win. Good news for Palm Beaches. people want it. People feel rewarded by it. It's phenomenal. The second thing was adventure, which can be defined in a lot of different ways, right? You can have adventure being in the mountains. You can have adventure baked in to an incentive almost anywhere. You know, biking through Amsterdam is going to be an adventure, let's be honest. So there are a lot of different ways you can have adventure, but cruise was number three. Like, what a comeback story for cruise. That's huge. And I think really important. It's such a big part of our industry. And whether it's river cruising or ocean cruising, you can get that beach and sun, but you also get the cruise. You can do the Galapagos and or Antarctica and get that adventure and cruising. So cruising checks a lot of boxes, and I'm excited to see it coming back so strongly.
That's actually, it is an amazing comeback. It's and a bit surprising, honestly.
It is. I mean, COVID obviously did no favors to the cruise industry, and I think they got hit harder than other elements of our industry. So it is nice to see them come back.
You know, just talking about how much has changed in the last few years, obviously the industry has had to adapt and pivot time and time again over the last 3 years. In addition to what we've just talked about, what other notable evolutions in the way that things are done do you see happening or coming down the pipeline?
I would say staffing is huge and still a struggle, and we've got to figure out and find our way forward with that. You know, for planners, when they're going on site visits, 91% of them are saying we're paying attention to staffing and service levels. And 34% of hotels in a study that we're getting ready to put out in a couple of weeks are still trying to get that talent. You know, they're pointing to high turnover. They're pointing to not enough qualified applicants. So I think that's going to impact how things are getting done. And I think that's where the AI piece is going to come into play. The more we can automate the way hotels are bought, I think in the next few years, you're going to see, well, now you can do it now. Small events, small incentives. You can buy the room nights with space now end to end. 5 years ago, you could not do that. It was a huge struggle, and now it's a reality. So again, you can refocus labor and talent where it needs to be, but the staffing is going to be huge. The other piece that I think COVID really had us pivoting around was the DMC sector. DMCs historically would put a full proposal together, put all their creativity on the table before anyone signed the dotted line and contracted with them. That was their value prop. And they realized during COVID that DMC comp models need to change. They need to act almost a little bit more like ad agencies do, where, hey, we'll come in and pitch our capabilities and we'll show you examples of what we've done for other customers, but we're not going to write the commercial and, you know, shoot the commercial for you before you've signed the contract. So DMCs are evolving more and more around that, which I think is good for them. It's important.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you may have already answered this, Stephanie, but we always ask this to all of our guests. What's your favorite between the sessions memory, activity, or experience?
You know, I think for me, and it's hard to pick just one, I think for me, it is the absolute humanity, the beautiful connections. I think about the first day of our invitational event. I always call it the family reunion. Walking into our registration area, and you can hear it. You can hear people see someone they know and love, and just that absolute scream and run and hug. To me, it speaks so much to how our industry connects people, how our industry creates this real sense of family. I love that so much, and I really, really look forward to that every single year. And it's not just me having those moments. I love watching other people have those moments because it's just absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, the importance of face-to-face.
All right. So final question, and this is what we call swag. Now, normally that means stuff we all get, but our swag is a little bit different. It's a tip or piece of advice that you want to share with the listeners before we go. Just one piece of advice.
My one piece of advice is always talk to the potential earners of your incentive program before you pick the destination, before you design how things are earned. Know your people. You know, the old adage is, where's the incentive program going next year? Wherever the CEO's spouse wants to go. You know, that's kind of been like a historical thing. I see less and less of that today, but it needs to reflect the people that you want to motivate. If you know them and you get that right, the performance boost you're going to get from your incentive will surpass your expectations.
All right. Stephanie Harris, president of the Incentive Research Foundation. Thank you so much for joining us today. Where can people reach you if they have any questions?
Everything we have, including ways to contact me, are available at theirf.org. We have free research, free webinars, free everything. So go out there and take advantage of it.
All right. Great information. Thank you, Stephanie. Between the Sessions is part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Thank you for tuning in, and make sure to check us out on LinkedIn, the Palm Beaches on LinkedIn. You can also head to our website, thepalmbeaches.com/meetings, and make sure you subscribe and leave a review on our podcast. This has been Between the Sessions.